unto the Lord with all of our might. Hallelujah. We praise you in this house, Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your presence. Such a delight to be back with you in the presence of the Lord tonight. I know the Lord is here, and I am excited to experience what he has for us tonight. I can remember I was thinking before I came up here of the greatest services I have ever been in. And all of them, number one, were at home, at my home church. And as a young man, they were the services where I absolutely laid everything I had out for Jesus. I kept nothing in reserve. I danced until I almost dropped, or did drop. I prayed until I had the Pentecostal croup. Y'all ever heard that term before? My voice was gone. Sounded like I had a frog in my throat. My eyes were swollen. My face was swollen. My back was wet. I stunk. Those were the greatest times I can remember as a young man in church. And I want to tell you something tonight. God is trying to draw some of you out of your shell. That was slightly pathetic. God is trying to draw some of you out of your shell. Because you want it. You want this. You want the glory. You want the power. You want the deliverance. You want the excitement. You want the victory. But sometimes we want it where we're sitting. And unfortunately, it might not happen. But if you can make up in your mind, I'll go whatever he wants me to go. I'll say, I'll do whatever. It'll happen for you. It'll happen for you. Matthew chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. Have a word from the Lord. I love Pastor and Sister Shindall. On the flight here, I had my heart set on Papa Do's. Has anybody been to Papa Do's? One of the greatest places on planet Earth besides church. Brother Matt took me there, and we went there, and I said, listen. He said, we can go wherever you want to go. I said, Matt, listen, let's keep this on the DL. Let's not tell Pastor where we're eating, because typically he takes me to Papa Do's on Sunday, and I don't want to mess that up. So we're going to do Papa Do's Saturday night and Sunday. And a few minutes later, we didn't expect it, but Pastor walks in. I'm like, oh, man, I'm blown. My cover's blown. But thankfully, the Spirit of God moved upon his heart, and he took me to Papa Do's again today. I had shrimp and grits, people. Have y'all ever had shrimp and grits? Lord, have mercy. You feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? It'll change your life. It'll change your life. So I'm in a happy mode. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 6, I love them very much. I thank God for the Shindalls. I know you love them. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Everybody say, the Father is in secret. That's where he lives. He's hidden. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Mark chapter 4, verse 22, along the same lines of what Jesus was talking about before in the book of Matthew. He said, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. I want to talk to you tonight about the seven dimensions of prayer. The seven dimensions of prayer. Now, whenever I have preached about prayer, sometimes we have to fight that stigma that's associated with prayer, that prayer is boring, or prayer is just work, or prayer is an interruption to our 24-hour-a-day American lifestyle of self-pleasing. And I want to tell you, prayer is liberty. Prayer is power. Prayer is freedom. Let's ask God to do exactly what he wants to do in this place. Would you lift your hands and your voices and your hearts? And let's say, Jesus, whatever you want to give me, I'm open to. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the authority of the word of God, by the power of the name Jesus, I pray every eye would be open to see and every ear would be open to hear what thus saith the Lord. I loose the gift of faith for prayer, for worship, to receive the will of the Lord tonight. I bind every demonic force that would come against the word of the Lord and the faith of the operation of God in our lives. I loose the word of God to have the impact upon us that you want it to have. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands one more time with all of your might and let's shout some high praise unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shekele bahasa. Come on, fill your lungs with air and shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Sheba bakaya la bahasa ndolo bohotaya. Give somebody a high five and say, you are the best dressed person in the building. My battery's about to die. It says it's on red. Sound person, whoever I'm supposed to talk to. You may be seated. Prayer gives us access to God. How many of you want access to God? All four of you. Awesome. I'm preaching to the four. And just raise their hand. How many of you want access to God? How many of you would like access, whether you agree with this policy or not, how many of you would like unfettered, unfiltered, unrestricted access to the President of the United States of America? Be kind of cool. Or to your senator or to your congressman. Prayer literally gives us access to God. The one with all the resources, the one with all the power, the one with all the miracles, the one with all the help, the one with all the direction. Prayer gives us access to our God. It is a wonderful privilege to pray. Prayer is an incredible bargain. You got my battery? Come on up. If we pray, God blesses. If we pray, God helps. If we pray, God delivers. If we pray, God brings us batteries. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we will pray, God works the miracles. When we pray, all the benefits are ours. The Bible says, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. When I found this scripture in prayer as a young man, it dawned on me, the longer I stay in the presence of the Lord, the more benefits I receive from God. God will literally load you up with benefits. If you do not pray, you should expect to struggle. If you do not have a consistent daily walk with God in prayer, just mark it down. You're going to struggle spiritually. You're going to question things. You're going to be bored in church sometimes, no matter who's preaching. Things are going to be dry to you. It's going to be an agony to get in the spirit. It's going to be a pain to fast. If you do not pray every day, you are going to fight battles that are absolutely horrific in your mind, in your spirit. It's tight, but it's right. I think we are living in possibly one of the most prayerless generations in the history of the world. And people who do not pray are going to deal with temptations and spirits continually. Why? Because the flesh is the channel that Satan uses to access your mind. This is why Paul said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'll be the first to admit it is a battle to pray. And maybe y'all are all angels and super spiritual and heaven opens up and angels sing and the choirs all when you pray. Is anybody fight battles when you pray? I will tell you, maybe 50% of the time, sometimes 70% of the time when you're going through a trial, maybe 90% of the time, you are lifting a load when you pray. You are having to make yourself sit down and your flesh is saying, man, this is crazy. You could be going watching a movie. You could be on Facebook. You could be doing this. You could be, why are you wasting time in this prayer room? Let me tell you something. You've got to grab your flesh by the collar and say, you are not going to rule my life, whether it comes to prayer, whether it comes to worship, whether it comes to praise. You got to get a hold of that flesh. That flesh will drag you down when God's trying to lift you up. That flesh will keep you quiet when God's trying to release your voice. That flesh will chain you when God is trying to loose you. And it is a battle to pray sometimes, but you simply got to pick which battle you're going to fight. Either you fight the battle for daily prayer, or you fight 100 other battles you were never supposed to fight. I want to tell you something. You can pray until you overcome anything. Y'all are not hearing me at all right now. You can pray until you overcome anything. You think about what you're fighting right now. I don't care what kind of devil it is. It may be the spirit of Jezebel from Jezebel herself. It may be the prince of Persia. It may be some whatever spirit over doubt. You pick it, you name it, you call it whatever you want. It may be a physical infirmity. It may be a generational spirit that's been in your family for 5 different generations. I promise you, as a man of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, if you will make up your mind to pray, you can overcome anything. You can overcome anything. You can overcome any emotional problem, any emotional hang-up, any mental problem, any emotional trauma. You can overcome anything. You can overcome anything and everything if you're willing to pray through. Woo. Are there any prayer warriors in the house? You know what I'm talking about. I could go down the list for you of the things that hung me up in my life, addictions to sin, mental problems. I had so many problems. I'm telling you, my problems, you could fill a whole spreadsheet with them. Emotional problems, turmoil, hang-ups, physical dilemmas, addiction, suicidal tendencies, depression coming through my childhood. My family broke apart. I was in a cave until I was 21 years old. And I want to tell you something. I can remember as a teenager, I found something. I found a secret. My precious mother would take me to the church when I was 15 years old. And we had this old Toyota and it stunk. Toyota Camry. This was like a 1901 Toyota Camry. Had wagon wheels for the tires. Had hamsters in the engine. She would take me to the church and we would put her. And when you turn it, go... It was an awesome possum, man. She would take me to the church and drop me off, and I found out I might be depressed, but if I go into that prayer room, if I stay long enough, I walk in depressed, I walk out high. I walk in bound, I walk out free. I walk in heavy, I walk out light. I walk in dark, and I walk out happy. I'm telling you, there is a transformation that can take place if you're willing to pray. If you're willing to pray, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land. I'm telling you, if we will pray, God will do anything you need him to do. You can pray until heaven opens up for you. You can pray until heaven opens up for you. You can pray until you have a personal revival. It don't matter if you're sitting next to a deadhead. You couldn't care less. You're in personal revival. The greatest revival you can have is personal revival. Because personal revival is not predicated on who's preaching or what stage the church is in or what season everybody's in. It don't matter a bit. You were with the presence of the Lord that morning, and when you step into church, you're not having a breakthrough in church. You already broke through before you came to church. So many people in this generation, you use church as your breakthrough. You use church as your means of getting into the Spirit. What would happen to our services if you came in the Spirit? If you came already broken through, if you've already spent a couple of hours in prayer before you ever get to church, you know what would happen? Everybody would come already broken through, and when you stepped into the presence of the Lord, Holy Ghost fire would fill the house, and there would be miracle signs and wonders, because we're not having to get over our flesh the entire service. We're not having to fight our flesh the whole service. You've already broken through your flesh, and it's all Spirit, Spirit, Spirit. Hallelujah. Personal revival opens up when you pray, when you pray. Revival does not come in seasons. Harvest comes in seasons. Growth comes in seasons. Rain and dry come in seasons, but not revival, fire. Solomon said the fire is never satisfied. Our problem is not a lack of fire. Our problem is a lack of fuel. In Florida, this year we had a great winter. We had two freezes. My pipes froze twice this year in Florida. But long before that happened, it dropped below 70. We were wearing our coats, our scarves, our gloves. If it drops below 70 in Florida, you break out the winter stuff because you don't know if you're going to wear it again the entire year. We have a fireplace, and so my wife said, we got to get the fire going. So I'm out there chopping wood like a lumberjack. I got an axe. I got a big old stump set up. I got my logs out there. The hurricane gave us all kinds of firewood in our yard. Knocked over like 28 trees, ripped them right out of the ground. So I've got fire. If you need firewood, come to Florida. I'll set you up. You can bring it back. I got years worth of firewood everywhere. It's termite heaven on my property. My wife said we need firewood, so I'm out there chopping firewood, and it had been sitting out there for a few days, and I bring it into the house, and I figure, well, I'll put a little piece of newspaper under these logs, and it's just going to get going, man. Lit that newspaper. The logs were like snickering at the newspaper. You got to be kidding me. Went through every newspaper in our house, every magazine, decided this is ridiculous. I got every paper towel roll we had. There was like four rolls. I brought them into the living room, lit them up, and I realized, okay, one or two is not going to work. So I had like white sticky things. Every crevice, every hole there was white. It looked like a white porcupine sitting in our fireplace. And I lit every one of them, and the wood did nothing. And so I decided to get the big guns. We didn't have any lighter fluid, and so I Googled, what can you use to start a fire? And it says any kind of oil, olive oil, canola oil. I got the canola oil. I got the expensive, the highly filtered, pressurized olive oil, the green stuff, and I brought it out. I drenched this firewood with oil, and it lit up like an atomic bomb. But after just 5 minutes, the wood didn't look brown. It didn't look black. It was just kind of going, it was hissing at me. And I realized this wood had gone through two hurricanes. It was thoroughly saturated with water. It was old dry wood, and it was like water logs in there. And I found a piece of wood that was unsaturated. And all I had to do was drip some oil. All I had to do was drip some oil on that wood, and I just lit it up, and all the logs around it just sat there and hissed at it. And the Lord began to talk to me. You can come to church, and there is so much anointing. There is so much consecration. Listen, I have been praying for hours every day this week. I have been fasting. I have been studying. I know I am anointed by God. I know it. And there can be your pastor. There can be another. Y'all had Irvin Baxter here talking about end time. It don't matter who's here. The anointing can be going into the atmosphere. But if the log has not been in the right environment, if the log has not been cured properly, it don't matter how much oil, it don't matter how much fire's there, it's just going to look at you and fizzle. Psst. Some of y'all been sitting and just looking at me the whole service. You've just been nodding your head. You're just sitting there sizzling. But some of you have been curing. Some of you have been in a dry place. Some of you have been waiting for just a spark, just a little bitty spark, and you're ready to be consumed by the fire. Our problem is not a lack of fire. It's a lack of fuel. When I come to church, I want to be ready to be set on fire. If you want the fire, lift your hands, lift your voice. You got it. You can be seated. You got to answer this question. Why do I come to church? Why do I come to church? I have an adverse reaction to people that don't want to worship. I always have. Before I ever preached, when I realized what Jesus was all about and what the Spirit was all about, you know, you can tell when people just don't want to move. They don't want to worship. They just want to sit there or whatever, nod their head and give you a good look. And if it's really good, they do the pendulum. We have several head nods in Pentecost. We have the chop, the quick chop. Oh, yeah. We got the crazy bobble. We got the pendulum. And you can live in Nodland if you want to, but the Bible says Cain lived in Nodland. And his sacrifice was unacceptable. And I can remember in church, I was a freak, okay? I promise you now, I was a total freak. I prayed 3, 4, 5, 6 hours before church started. And so when I came to church, I sat on the front row. Heaven forbid I would sit on the second row. God forbid I would be caught dead on the second row, okay? I'm telling you the truth. There's no way on earth I'm sitting on the second row. I don't understand this sometimes. If you were at a ball game, which I don't go to ball games, hopefully you don't either, but if you were at a ball game, you would be sitting on the third row if there was two seats up here at the front. What in the world? I'm at home right now. I'm feeling right at home. I hope to go. I'm leaving tomorrow, so. But I would sit on the front row, and it didn't matter if my pastor said Mary had a little lamb, her fleece was white as snow, I would be, I was in the Holy Ghost because I got in the Holy Ghost before service ever started. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not boasting. I'm not super spiritual. I just really need God. I just really need God. I know I need God. I got to pray for hours a day just to be normal. I really need God. I'm not super spiritual. I'm super desperate. I'm super needy. David said it over and over, I'm poor and needy. Why was David like the way he was? It wasn't because he was super spiritual. He needed God and he knew he needed God. That's why I act like I act. I need God. I'm sorry for the outburst. You can sit down. And so, in the service, when the Holy Ghost would start moving, come here, Brother Will. I love this guy. I'm using the microphone that he spat upon, so you know I love him. But if somebody was in church and they didn't want to worship and they stood up or they came up to the front, I could feel. Do you realize you cannot be neutral in a church service? You are either for him. Whether you realize it or not, you are either for the flow of the Spirit or you are, whether intentionally or unintentionally, inhibiting the flow of the Spirit. You cannot be neutral. And so, in church, I'd be dancing on a slow song or whatever. And I could tell person I would dance next to didn't like it. People that are unwilling to climb the mountain always pull on the heels of those that want to climb the mountain. Because you're going to a higher level and it requires more effort, and you make them look lazy. And I could tell, I would be dancing, shouting, and they didn't like it, and I could feel their spirit. And probably this was not the right thing to do. I don't recommend this, but this is just something that God had to deliver me from. When they would be standing there, I would just, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God, hallelujah, oh, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. In other words, I'm not going to yield to your spirit. I am not yielding to your spirit. If you don't want to worship, you can sit like a lump on a log. If you want to just be a head nodder, you go ahead. The Bible tells me, praise ye the Lord in the dance. And I need him. I need him. I need him. I want him. I'm searching. I'm hungry. I'm desperate. Hey, I have learned. None of this is in my notes. I'm a little crazy tonight. I have learned as a preacher not to make eye contact with certain people. Amen, Pastor? It'll suck the living daylights out of you. You'll be preaching. I've been praying. I've been seeking. I got a word from God, and I make eye contact with you. And everything that was burning inside of me goes. God has taught me how to connect with the fire in other people. I'm looking for somebody that's been in the presence of the Lord. I'm looking to join hands with somebody in the spirit that's been in the presence of God. I'm looking for somebody that'll pick up the burden with me and say, we are going to have a move of God. I refuse to settle for normal church. I refuse to settle for life as usual. I'm going to get a hold of God. I'm going to get in the Holy Ghost. Well, lift your hands and lift your voice and do whatever you want right now. Shalabahatai. Do it again. I feel God. Shekadebeheka. According to your hunger, do it. According to your desire, do it. According to your need, do it. According to what you feel, do it. Shekalaharakata. Hela harahasha. Hea. Hila bahetana bahaya. Woo! Hallelujah! I want it. I want a new dimension. I want a higher realm. I want to live in a greater dimension of faith. I want to see you for myself. I want it. I need it. I pursue it. I'm desperate. Ugh. There's a fire flowing right now. There's a fire building right now. There's a fire brewing. There's a fire flowing and spreading. If you want it, reach up and grab it. Grab it, grab it, grab it. Don't pass me by. Don't pass me by. I want to be renewed. I want it just like I got it the first time. I want to be loosed. Shada Bahasa. Clap your hands and thank the Lord for His presence. You may be seated. The Holy Ghost is not looking for a quick combustion and a short altar call tonight. There's something different that He's shooting for. The first dimension of prayer stinks. It's the outer court. And when you begin to pray, it stinks. The closer you get to the altar, the worse the smell is. Because flesh is being consumed by fire. And the reason why some of us struggle in prayer is because we never leave the outer court. Anybody ever smelled burning flesh? It's horrible. It's horrific. Not appealing. And when you begin to pray, it's choppy. There's no flow. There's no fire. You feel the heaviness of the prayer. You feel the challenge that is in front of you. You are concerned about how you sound. You are concerned about what you look like. You feel awkward. You don't want to offend people. There's so many self-conscious thoughts. You feel a pressure in front of you holding you back in the first dimension of prayer. And a lot of times, because of the pressure, people will escape the pressure by chanting. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, 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 Lordy, Lord, Lord, Lordy, Lord, 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 Lord. You're thinking, I got to pay bills. I got to go to work tomorrow. Where are we going out to eat after church? Got to feed my dog. Got to take the trash out. Lord, 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 Lordy, Lord, 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 Lordy, Lord, Lord, Lord. All right, I've got 10 minutes under my belt. I got 50 minutes to go. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Tell them the truth. I'm talking to me. I've done it. You just chant. And you never get on the altar. The entire purpose of the outer court is to place our stinking flesh on that altar to be consumed. And the sooner we embrace the burden for prayer, the quicker we're going to find relief from the opposition of this flesh. When you get on that altar, God begins to work on you. That fire begins to consume you. And you enter into the second dimension of prayer. This is where you now step off of the altar and you move to the brazen laver. This is where you cease to be focused on the destruction of your flesh, and God begins to prepare you for the spiritual ministry you are about to perform. You are now entering into a place where you are being aligned for the spirit realm. When you look at the outer court, you walk in, you have the brazen altar. Right after that, in a perfect line, you have the brazen laver. Right after that, in a perfect line, you have the holy place, the curtains of the holy place. And so when you get to that brazen altar, you are now presenting yourself to God to enter into the supernatural realm. You accept the full burden of the ministry of prayer. And as you move, you go to the holy place, the fourth dimension. And here you see the curtain in front of you. And this is where things move from flesh to spirit. This is where you are now tapping into what is called the breakthrough dimension. It is where you move from the place you can understand to a place you cannot understand. And it's easier to pray. You're less concerned about what you sound like, what you look like, what is happening around you. You become focused. You are finding a flow now. Maybe you're praying for somebody and you just feel a little extra when you pray. It's like God puts a little energy behind that prayer. And you step in to a place of where before 5 minutes felt like 50 minutes. You were praying, and you're trying to get through your hour of prayer, and you look at your watch and you realize, I have only been praying for 5 minutes. And a very disheartening feeling comes upon you. Anybody ever felt that before? I used to be addicted to the clock when I prayed. And I found myself looking at the clock every 30 seconds, hoping I had prayed for 30 minutes. And I realized the only way I'm going to get out of this is if I remove the clock completely and just find the flow. But what happens is when you get into the breakthrough dimension, everything switches. Instead of a force being in front of you holding you back, now a force is behind you pushing you forward. And whereas before 5 minutes felt like 50 minutes, now 50 minutes feels like 5 minutes. You look at your watch and you're like, my word, I've been praying for 50 minutes. Everything switches. I was on a flight. I might have told this before, but it's worth telling again. If I have told it, just act like I haven't. Slap your neighbor and say, oh my goodness, this story is incredible. Let your eyes be wide and just be blown away, okay? I was on a flight from my first time being at Lee Stone King's house. And I had prayed. I had done a three-day fast before I went there. I was ready for great things. And the first night I was there, he wanted to watch a 1956 version of Tarzan of the Apes. And I'm thinking, yeah. I'm thinking, wow, okay, let's do it. This is what Stone King wants. I'm going to do it. And so we go into his library, beautiful library. He's got Jewish things set up everywhere, a mantle he received from Israel, and placards on the wall and certificates and so many different things. And I go in there and I'm in the Holy Ghost and we're about to watch Tarzan of the Apes from 1956. It's a black and white version. And he settles in his chair. I settle on the couch and I'm ready for anything to happen. And we begin to watch Tarzan of the Apes. And at the end of the story, I don't know if you've ever seen the old black and white 1956 version of Tarzan of the Apes. Anyway, at the end of the story, the gorilla father that raised Tarzan was brought to England and put in a zoo. And Tarzan was brought and sophisticated and domesticated, and they presented him as a jungle boy, but he's now sophisticated. Anyway, he was walking past the zoo, and his gorilla father, y'all had no idea you're going to learn about this tonight, did you? He was walking through the zoo, and his gorilla father saw him behind the cage and burst out of the cage and ran towards Tarzan. And the guards at the zoo, the military guards, shot this gorilla for breaking out of the cage. And he began to die, and Tarzan recognized him as his gorilla father. And he went down, and he holds his dying gorilla daddy in his hands and said, I am sorry for what's happened to you. And I am kind of engrossed in the film, and I look over, and Pop Stone King is sobbing. And he has got a hanky, and he is wiping the tears. And he said to me, he said, "Joey, they didn't understand, boy. It was his father. Let's pray. Let's pray right now." And we had an hour prayer meeting after watching the black and white version, 1956, Tarzan of the Apes. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Yes, that was my first experience. So I am now on a plane flying out of the Albany airport to Washington Dulles, and it was a tiny airplane, 30-seater, puddle hopper, the kind of plane that you feel every bump. If there's a bird that flew a mile in proximity, you're going to feel turbulence on it, okay? It's like a roller coaster. It's awesome. I told my boys, lift your hands, and we're like, "Wah!" like a roller coaster. It's great. Like that. That's a good boy. So I'm on the plane. The pilot gets on the plane, intercom system. It's dark outside. It's raining. Very gloomy. He gets on the intercom system. "Welcome to American Airlines flight, blah, blah, blah. Thank you for flying with us. Due to the severe weather warning that we are receiving, we are going to be climbing at a higher rate of altitude than you're probably accustomed to doing. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight." Bing. Can you repeat that? Did he say we're climbing at a higher rate of altitude than we are accustomed to? He was not joking. When we took off, he had an extra afterburner engine that nobody knew about, and we shot like a space shuttle. It wasn't that bad. It was actually maybe like that. You could feel the pressure on your face. And I was scared half to death. We were terrified, and the lightning was flashing, and we began to climb, ascend into that cloud cover. And it was bad on the ground, but once you get in the storm clouds, it gets on a whole nother level of bad. The lightning was flashing. We're being rocked. I'm sending a text to my wife. "I love you, babe. If I never see you again, you know, this, just know that I always have loved you. And there's somebody over here with prayer beads, and somebody over there is chanting to Allah, and there's a person up there sacrificing a lamb." I mean, people are doing whatever they can to get involved with God, okay? We were scared half to death, and it got worse and worse, and it seemed like it was never going to end. And I'm thinking to myself, and y'all probably thought the same thing, is this plane going to fall apart? Are the wings going to pop off? This is horrible. And all of a sudden, in 1 second, it went from being totally dark and gloomy in that plane, shaking, convulsing pressure, to breakthrough. And we came up over the top of those storm clouds. And the beautiful, unfiltered light of the sun shot through every window in that plane. And instead of doom and gloom, it was gorgeous, crystal clear direction. You could see for miles in every which direction. What was hanging over us, we busted through. And we were now traveling over what used to be on top of us. And the pilot came on the intercom system and he said, "Hope you enjoyed that section of the flight. Now sit back and relax. Our navigation to Washington Dulles is about to begin." It's after the breakthrough that navigation begins. It's after you break through that direction comes. And you, when you start praying, you feel the pressure, not only of your life. People, we are under a cloud cover of one of the greatest assaults from the Antichrist spirit this world has ever known. America is dealing with a darker spirit than we have ever faced in the history of this world. And there is a cloud cover over us. And when you start to pray, you feel the pressure. You feel the weariness of it. You feel the hopelessness of it. Anybody can relate to what I'm talking about? You wonder, is God even listening? It feels like you're talking to the carpet. Feels like you're just going through the motions. But if you keep on praying, if you keep on reaching, if you keep on using your voice, you're climbing in spiritual altitude. And all of a sudden, I don't know how to describe it, but something happens and you break through. And what was hanging over you is now under your feet. What was pulling you down, you're now on top of it. You've now got the victory. What happened? You just broke through. I was reading a book. There's an evangelist named Verbal Bean. Anybody ever heard that name? Verbal Bean. He never wrote a book, but they transcribed some of his messages. One of them is called Prayer. Stephen Carrier transcribed his messages. You got to get these books. They'll change your life. One is Prayer, Change My Life Forever. The other one is The Works of the Holy Ghost. And in The Works of the Holy Ghost, he says, Pentecostals used to be able to pray an hour a day and feel the total liberty that came in the Spirit. He said, that was when I was a boy. He said, now this is when he's in his late 30s. He said, but now, he said, I can pray an hour in the morning, and by the afternoon, I feel like I have not even prayed at all. He says, that is the effect of the spirit of the Antichrist. This was in 1970. We are in 2018. And our people are actually thinking to themselves, I can get by with 5 minutes of prayer a day, 10 minutes of prayer. Who are you kidding? We are facing things that we are the only solution to on this earth. And if we don't get in the spirit, these things are going to take over America. They're going to take over this world. We are fighting the spirit of the Antichrist. This world needs saints of God who break through in prayer. Break through in prayer. Pray and don't stop until you break through. Pray and don't stop until you know you've broken through. How do you know you're broken through? You reach a place in prayer where you don't want to quit. How do you know you're broken through? You reach a place in prayer where it don't stink anymore. You reach a place in prayer where your flesh goes silent. You reach a place in prayer where you could care less what anybody thinks about you. You could care less what you sound like. That's when you're broken through. And if you stick around, most people stop at the breakthrough because the breakthrough feels good and you're like, man, I just had a good prayer meeting. But if you stick around, you're going to enter the fifth dimension. Everybody say the fifth dimension. This is when you are in the holy place and something begins to flow through you. The Spirit of God begins to flow through you. And Jesus will pray through you, whether in tongues or in understanding, things that you did not know needed to be prayed for. You will begin to pray prayers that are outrageous in the spirit dimension. My wife is a prophetess of God, and she's on a new level. The past few months has been absolutely nuts. She had a dream about an individual in a church and walked up to him. She asked the pastor first. Pastor said, go for it. She walked up to him and said, God has revealed to me in a dream. This is my wife. God has revealed to me in a dream that you are holding on to something that if you do not let it go, it's going to kill you and your family spiritually. And that dude got a hold of my number and called me. This is months later. He says, man, I can't get this off of my mind. And he kind of jibber-jabbered about all these irrelevant things. And I knew he was wanting to get to the point. And I said, bro, so what's really going on with you? And he said, well, I'm doing this, and I know my pastor teaches against it. He said, I've just kind of agreed to disagree with him. I said, you are living in unsubmission. And I said, whether or not your pastor is using Bible to prove that this is wrong is irrelevant. He's your pastor. God listens to his preference. He didn't have to have a Bible for everything he wants to say to this church. He draws the line where God puts in his heart to draw the line. And I said, you are living in unsubmission and you are agreeing to disagree, but you are allowing a spirit of iniquity to come into your family, into your home. And God revealed this to my wife just about 3 days ago, early in the morning. I was up praying and I heard my wife. She was kind of just kind of praying downstairs, and she had Micah and Benjamin, our two younger boys, in her lap. David was getting ready for school and she was praying, and all of a sudden she went into another gear. It's a scary gear. She began to blood-curdling scream, speak in tongues, and it rocked the whole house. The first time my boys heard it, I walked into their bedroom, and they were all in their bunk beds peeking out the windows like, I said, boys, it's okay. Mama's in the Holy Ghost. This is normal. This is good. And I heard my wife blood-curdling screaming downstairs, and all of a sudden she said, thus saith the Lord. I'm like, my God, she's prophesying. She laid hands on Benjamin, my youngest son, and began to prophesy over our 1.5-year-old son about what he was going to do for the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, hot, fiery trickles went down my entire body as the spirit of prophecy poured through my... I wanted to smooch her right then and there. What happened? She entered into spirit dimension. Do you know you can prophesy over your family? Have I preached beyond your attention span? I'm sorry if I'm going too long. Your family prayer meetings can be the most exciting time in your family. If prayer, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just trying to be real. If prayer is boring for you, it's not God's fault. Do you understand the tools and the weapons and the dimensions and the spiritual rooms and avenues and channels you can get involved with if you are willing to linger in the presence of the Lord? And that fifth dimension, that spirit dimension, God will pray through you things that you never expected, things for your future, things for your family, things for your marriage, things for your ministry. You've got to linger a little bit longer than you're used to lingering. And God will take you into a place where his faith replaces yours. If you want that, would you lift your hands and let your voice out right now? Just seek it. Go after it for a moment. Hallelujah. Woo! Shalabahataya. Woo! You may say to me, Brother Campitella, I don't know how to do these things. I don't know how to enter into these dimensions. I'm not skilled. And listen, the best teacher of prayer is prayer itself. The more you pray, the more you want to pray, the better you'll be at praying. It's just that simple. You can be seated. If you stick around, you'll enter the sixth dimension of prayer. I call this dimension the overflow dimension. It's where you no longer can logically, physically handle the flow of God that's flowing through your body. And you lose it. This is where it gets crazy. This is where we get the term holy roller from. You can no longer do anything but freak out. You can't pray normal any longer. You can't use your normal voice any longer. You can't just sit there and rock anymore. You are going to freak out. You've entered a place to where your resistance to the Spirit of God is completely destroyed. And you become a freak for Jesus. Anybody ever just lost it like I'm talking about right now? You just lost it. There's not too many, my goodness. Anybody been drunk in the Holy Ghost? Just out of it? Ooh, we need a baptism of drunkenness in this church. That's what we need. I can remember when God was taking me into this dimension. Am I okay? What time is it? Yeah, I'm worried about it. Y'all are being nice. Okay, I'm gonna try to be done in just a few minutes. I can remember God was taking me into this dimension. I was praying 2, 3, 4 hours a day, okay, as a young man, fasting. But I never lost control of myself. I'm a very logical, methodical, sometimes maniacal person. And God had a hard time loosing me from that. It took me a while to get the Holy Ghost because my mind was fighting the illogical aspect of God. God is completely illogical. And so he was trying to take me in this dimension. And so to take me there, he did a wonderful act of love for me. He turned the faucet off. And I couldn't feel him any longer. And I had one of two choices. I could either back up, stop, say, okay, he's done with me. I'm going to just sit here and go through the motions. Or I'm going to turn it up another notch and see what happens. And in one Sunday night service, I couldn't feel nothing. I'm telling you, I had prayed 3 or 4 hours before that service. I prayed before the morning service. I was single and bored at this time, so I just had Jesus. It was just me and Jesus. Prayed before the morning service, before anybody got there. I was praying, went to that Sunday morning service. After that service, I would go out to eat, come back to the church, turn on preaching tapes in the prayer room, and seek God for a couple more hours, go into the church, and ready for whatever God has for me. That was my Sundays, okay? And so, but he was nowhere to be found. It was dry, dead, and boring. I'm like, God has forgotten me. God has done with me. God has moved on to somebody else. There's sin in my life. I don't know what's going on. God, what are you doing? I tried to pray. I tried to have people lay hands on me. I tried to do things. And finally, God spoke to me. This was after several weeks. God spoke to me and he said, praise ye the Lord in the dance. This was Sunday night service. I said, God, but I don't feel like dancing. I feel dead and weary and twice plucked up by the roots. I don't feel like dancing. Praise ye the Lord in the dance. But God, they're not playing my favorite song. I had a favorite song. It was, when you're down, down, and out, Jesus, he will bring you out, pick you up, turn you around, place your feet on solid ground. He's my shelter in the storm. Give me strength to carry on. Call him up and enter prayer. I know the Lord will still be. I got a feel. Have y'all heard that song? It's an old song. Have y'all heard that song? Yeah. They're not playing my dance. That's the song I dance on, Lord. Praise ye the Lord in the dance. Is that you, God? Praise ye the Lord in the dance. So, took my jacket off, took my tie off, took my shoes off, took my pants. No, I didn't take my pants off. I'm kidding. Too far. I just seen if some of y'all were awake right there. Some of y'all were like, he took his pants off. Awesome, awesome, yes. Oh, it is, isn't it? It's an hour later. Oh, my. Well, we'll just see what happens. Praise you, the Lord of the dance. So I got ready to dance. I like dancing without stuff on me, you know? I was modest, but I mean extra stuff. So I got my hanky, and I started dancing unto the Lord. I went to, if you're facing the congregation, I went all the way on that side, and they cleared an aisle for me. People knew how crazy I was, and they just said, you go do your thing as long as it's safe over there. And so I got over there, and I kept on dancing, and I started dancing, and they were singing these songs, and it wasn't really a dancing service. It was more like a meditative service. And I was on the side of the church. And this burning pain began to develop
under the left side of my ribs, throbbing and causing me to lose my breath and reminding me, you are a pig slob out of shape. And after 10 minutes of unrelenting dancing, I felt like stopping, but nothing had changed. I was still bound. I was still down low. I couldn't find him. And I realized I haven't gotten anywhere. So, Lord, I told him, I'm going to praise you in the dance. 10 more minutes. I was quoting every scripture I could on praising the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually. Did I feel anything? No. Felt nothing. It's hard to dance when you feel nothing. There's no extra inspiration, no extra goosebump inspiration happening. You just feel dead. And 30 minutes, 45 minutes. And at this point, I'm realizing I'm in some serious health dilemma. My neck is literally going, and my eyes are, and I can't hardly breathe, and I'm soaked from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. People have moved away because my odor was building. It was bad. And I gave everything I had in that dance. And finally, I reached the end of myself, and I slithered over to the seat, and I sat down. It was during the announcements. The music had stopped. The announcer was saying, Tuesday night, prayer, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Everybody's sitting there ready to go home. Sat on the front row with all my guys. And when I sat down, I looked up to heaven and I said, God, I have given you everything I know to give tonight. I've given you everything. And when I said those words, the glory of Almighty God came out of heaven and fell on me. There was no buildup to it. There was no heating myself up to it, poking myself in the eye, trying to get some tears. There was nothing. Nobody laid hands on me. The glory of God fell on me. It was like a lightning bolt hit me. I melted. First, I screamed, which kind of threw everything off on the surface. Tuesday night. I melted out of the pew, and I began to speak in tongues like a banshee. I had never spoken in tongues. I was kind of in that falsetto place where a man is not supposed to be, kind of screaming like a girl, but speaking in tongues, and there was like 10% of my brain that was still working, and I was outside of myself, and I was thinking, who is speaking in tongues like that? And I looked at myself, and I said, that's you. That sound is coming out of your mouth. And I was rolling. I was lost in the presence of the Lord. And I opened my non-drunk eye. One eye wasn't drunk. And I looked out of the non-drunk eye. And I saw all the guys that were sitting next to me on the pew. They were all on the floor too, doing the same thing. And I looked on the other side of the church and all the girls. They were on the floor doing the same thing. And a wave of glory swept across the whole building. And everybody started dancing and shouting. God got a hold of me and got me beyond my comfort zone and took me to a place called overflow. 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 You can't contain it any longer. You can't contain it any longer. Something will get a hold of you.
If you want it, lift your hands and go after it for a moment. Just tell him, I want it. Uh-huh. You may be seated. Would you pray like that while you're seated? Would you lift your voice while you're seated? Would you speak in tongues while you're seated? You can clap your hands while you're seated. Let your voice out while you're seated. I'm almost done. God, put it on this church. Put it on this church. Put it on this church. Every person, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman that wants it, put it on them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Uh-huh. Overflow, 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 overflow. Hallelujah. If you stick around, hear me. I'm going to let you pray in just a moment. I understand it's daylight savings. I'm sorry for keeping you so long. This is the last dimension. If you stick around, from the overflow dimension, you enter the seventh dimension of prayer. In this dimension, you enter into heavenly places. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians that you're going to be going through, the first chapter records three different times mentioned heavenly places. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Everybody say, blessings are in heavenly places. Somebody's got to get up there and pull them down. Which he wrought in Christ, verse 20, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Where is Jesus Christ sitting? In heavenly places. Somebody's got to get up there and touch him and bring him down. Ephesians 2 and 6, he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's Paul saying? We have the actual opportunity to leave this earth and go sit where Jesus is sitting in spiritual authority. Ephesians 3 and 10, where does the devil live? To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places. Satan lives in heavenly places. There's a prince over this area. There's a prince over this city, over this region, over this county. They are seated in illegitimate authority in heavenly places. Notice what Jesus said. He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Who's he talking about? He's talking about himself. Then he makes this statement, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus literally said, no man can go to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, guys, I'm talking to you right now, but I'm actually in heaven. How is it possible? He is seated in heavenly places. His body walks the earth, but through prayer and fasting, his spirit has been raised up to a place of authority and power to where wherever he walks, he disrupts the heavenlies. Satan knows when he's coming. I went to preach a youth rally, a district youth rally recently, and the pastor texted me. Somebody in the church picked me up. You know those pastors that send other people to pick you up from the airport? This young man, all right, I've been here enough to mess with him a little bit. So, this young man picked me up, and the pastor texted me. He said, I have been in a prayer meeting. I felt you land in my city. I was on a 3-day fast, and I had been doing incredible spiritual warfare for that youth rally. He said, I felt you land in my city. I've been in other places. I told you about Denver where that Satanist came to the church and said, I have a message for Joey Campitella. How did he know I was coming? My spirit had already been to Denver. When you pray, God lifts you up and as a channel thrust you into the realm that he wants to work in. I got Bible for this. What did Elisha say to his servant Gehazi? He said, whence comest thou, Gehazi? He said, thy servant went nowhere. He said, went not my heart with you when you entered into the man's chariot?
He was seated in his rocking chair in his prayer room, but his spirit had left his body and was following Gehazi. When you enter into the heavenly places dimension, your spirit will go before you and disrupt every obstacle. It'll throw down every stronghold, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places or heavenly places, epiuranos. They live in heavenly places, and God is seeking for someone that's willing and able to spend a long enough time in prayer where you leave this earth and you enter into a realm where you mess up every plan of the devil. You mess up every intention of the devil. There are intercessors in every church, I am totally convinced, that live in heavenly places. If it is a revival church, there are intercessors there that have left this earth that have entered into heavenly places. There was a lady, my pastor's wife's mother, Nellie Butler. Nellie Butler was never stepped behind the pulpit. She never became a nationally known figure, but she prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted and prayed and fasted. She was known as the healer in her neighborhood. She was a oneness apostolic Jesus name lady, elderly lady. They knew in their neighborhood, if they needed a miracle, they would go to Nellie Butler's house. Nellie Butler would touch them. They would be healed in their body. This is the kind of lady she was. She was also very bashful, very shy, kind of eccentric. And when she would get nervous, she would always kind of giggle, hee hee, put her thumb in her mouth. That was Nellie Butler. Powerful woman of God. It was nothing for her to do a 10-day fast, 15-day fast, 21-day fast, nothing. She just do it all the time. Now, it was something. It was a sacrifice. But looking from the outside, she was doing it all the time. She went to a flea market with her daughter, Naomi Varnum. They went to the flea market. There was a big crowd gathered in this flea market square. Massive crowd. And just like normal people would, they went up to the outskirts of the crowd. And they were looking. And Nellie Butler was standing there. She's looking to see what everybody else is looking at. There was somebody seated in the middle of the crowd. And all of a sudden, the lady that was seated at the middle of the crowd screamed, "You!" And the crowd parted. And Nellie Butler was standing there. And the witch that was demonstrating her power at the table in the middle of that flea market pointed at Nellie Butler and said, "Lady, you got to get out of here. Ever since you walked up to this crowd, I cannot do what I have been trying to do. You got to leave." What happened? Nellie Butler was walking on planet Earth. But her spirit in the anointing and authority of God was going before her everywhere she went. She was seated in heavenly places. When you enter into the dimension of heavenly places, you cannot live a normal life any longer. No matter what restaurant you go to, no matter what mall you go to, when you step out in public, now you'll learn how to turn it on and turn it off, but you will enter a realm where you stir up everything around you. I could tell you story after story after story of people for no apparent reason getting mad at me, trying to hurt me, trying to come against me, saying weird things to me out of the blue, never talked to them, never knew them. What happened? The spirit of anointing and power that rests upon my life was stirring up the spirit realm all around me. And I want to tell you something. Church growth and revival is not contingent upon how many John Maxwell books you read, how many Andy Stanley books you read. Somebody has got to get on their knees and ascend into heavenly places and say, "God, give us revival. God, pull down every stronghold that hinders revival in Hearst, Texas. God, we need a breakthrough. God, we want a new dimension. God, we've got to find you. We've got to see growth like we never have before." I feel the Holy Ghost. Lift your voice and do what you want. Lift your voice. If you want what I'm preaching about, go after it now. Go after it. A spirit of prayer will come upon you. A spirit of prayer will come upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Adabahasa, Dadabahata, Labahaya.
If you feel like it, I know we've already danced and shouted and had church this morning. If you feel like it, get out of your pew or turn around in your pew or get on your face. Somebody linger for a few minutes in the presence of the Lord. Pray however you want to pray. Pray however you want to pray. Come on, break through yourself. Break through any kind of feeling that you might be offending somebody or what you sound like. Break through any kind of resistance in the name of Jesus. Keep on ascending. Keep on ascending. Your spiritual altitude is going to increase until you break through, until you break through. Some of you are dealing with weariness and depression. There's a mental battle you are fighting constantly. You can pray until you break through it. You can pray until you break through it. Yes! Yes! In Jesus' name.